Please join me in prayer as we enter God's word together. Heavenly Father, you are great. Indeed, you are great. Our hearts are turned to you now. We are in awe of your glory. We are in awe of your goodness. We are in awe of your love and your mercy, your power, your wisdom. And Lord, as we enter your scriptures together today, we are trusting you to speak, for your children are listening. We're not here to listen to this person or that person or the other person. We're here to listen to you, to hear from you, to hear what you're saying to us as we follow you and entrust you with our very lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to do something for you real quick. Okay. Tara already knows what I'm about to do. She doesn't know I was going to do this, but she already knows what I'm about to do. All right. Now, I don't play the piano. Okay. Now, this is one of my favorite songs. You probably have heard it before. You ready? Okay. You know that song? You know that song? Christmas time is here. Want to hear the rest of it? I'm sorry, I can't play the rest of it. It took me 2 weeks to figure out how to play that thing. I had to watch YouTube videos to play that thing. Now, why did I do that? When Tara and I were on, I think it was our first or second anniversary dinner, we went out somewhere, and they had a guy playing the piano. And I went over to him, and I said, "Can you play Charlie Brown Christmas?" He said, "Oh, sure. So he goes and he plays the song, and I'm like, yeah, that's my song right there. And now I just imagine what would happen if he kind of stopped in the middle of it and said, "Okay, I don't know anymore. That's it." There's something important about finishing something when you start. One of the reasons why I can't finish that song is because I can't just look at the music. Like Leo, if I just printed out the sheet music and gave it to Leo, Leo just, and wouldn't have to have played it before, so just play the whole thing perfectly and play it beautifully. Me, on the other hand, I have to watch a YouTube video, find out where my fingers are supposed to go, and then memorize what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. Because when I took piano lessons as a kid, I didn't finish taking the lessons. So there's only a certain amount that I know. But had I finished, I would be able to do what Leo does instead of just living with the regret. Man, I should have finished. Now, I still have time, but there's something important about finishing things. You know, I mean, if you were about to have surgery, right, whether it was heart surgery or brain surgery or maybe repair a broken limb or something like that, would you rather have an average doctor, if you had to choose between an average doctor finishing from start to finish the surgery, or the best doctor in the world doing the surgery halfway and then not finishing? Which would you choose? You'd go with the one who finished the job, right? There's something about finishing. Same with if someone were to build you a house, would you rather have an okay construction company finish your house from start to finish, or would you rather have the best construction company in the world build all the way up about halfway and then stop in the middle? Finishing is important. When you've probably seen the movie Rocky, right? And one of the most famous scenes is when he's working out and then running and then gets to the top and he's jumping around. And because the reason training is so important is because the boxing trainers know that you can be a very, very skilled boxer, but if you can't go the distance, you'll quit, right? Because there's something about finishing that's important. One of the greatest threats to you being able to walk out the calling, the purpose, the plan of God on your life isn't the lack of giftedness, isn't the lack of education, isn't the lack of social networks and knowing the right people to give you opportunity. The biggest threat is not finishing. Because you can have all the giftedness in the world, all the education in the world, know all the right people, have all the opportunity, but if you don't finish, then it was all for nothing. Finishing. And we don't talk about finishing enough. We love to talk about starting new things and the new thing that God is doing and what's next and what's coming up. But what about finishing the work God has on your life, that God has put in front of you? Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's something about finishing that matters. And I want to share with you today how God will make you fit to finish. How God will prepare you, because God is a good shepherd. God knows you. God understands you. And God is working in you, the scripture says, to will and to do his good pleasure. So God is already preparing you to complete the task that he's given you. And we all have an assignment from God. We are a body. And we looked at this a couple weeks ago. We all have a calling. Just because you may not be called to stand in front of people with a microphone in front of your face, but that doesn't mean you don't have a ministry. Everyone is called to some form of ministry, some form of making an impact for the kingdom of God, something that will help reach people and raise leaders. And if you want to finish the work that God has put in front of you, if you want to make the impact that God wants you to make, you need to be fit to finish. You need to be fit to finish. And so we're going to talk for a few moments today about how God prepares you to finish your race, to finish your course. And we're going to be looking at the story of Doubting Thomas. We all know Doubting Thomas, right? The very famous story of Doubting Thomas. But in this story of Doubting Thomas, we see a very strange, hard to understand saying of Jesus. And I was wrestling with this scripture, with this passage, like you wouldn't even understand. And Tara will tell you that he really wrestled with this passage, because it was just, But when I said, this is it. This is what he means. And it all made sense. So we're going to look at it today. How does God make you fit to finish? Now, we're going to pick up the story where the disciples are all together. Jesus, this is after Jesus is crucified and rises from the dead. And he comes to the disciples and appears to them. And then they go to Thomas and they say, hey, Thomas, guess what? We've seen the Lord. Now, the reason Thomas wasn't with them when Jesus appeared the first time is because Thomas did what a lot of us do when we're discouraged and we are disappointed and we're in a low emotional place. He went to be by himself. So he missed out on the first appearance of Jesus because he wasn't in fellowship. And that's a lesson right there, because when you're at your lowest point, that's when you need people the most. That's not when you need to be by yourself. But Jesus comes a second time. We're going to pick up the story. Okay. This is John chapter 20, starting at verse 24. And it says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, it's pretty detailed, and place my hand into the wounds in his side. I will not believe it unless I see him. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, here goes Jesus being Jesus again. Jesus was standing among them. Somehow, even though the doors were locked, he appeared with them. And he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Do not doubt, but believe. We're going to break that down. "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." We're going to break this down. So, Thomas, here's the key of this to this passage. Right at the bottom where Jesus tells Thomas, "Do not doubt, but believe." In the Greek, Jesus is literally saying, "Do not become unfaithful, but become faithful." This word pistos in Greek, which is where it's what is often translated believe or faith, also means faithfulness, faithful. It's the same word, pistos, faithful. Unfaithfulness is apistos, apistos. And so Jesus goes up to Thomas and he says, "Don't be unfaithful, but be faithful." So he's not just telling him, "Don't doubt, but believe," but he's also telling him, "Don't quit, be faithful." Don't quit, be faithful. Thomas's problem was not that he couldn't understand how Jesus could rise from the dead. Thomas's problem was that him not understanding that Jesus could rise from the dead made him quit, which is why he was by himself, not with the disciples. He had given up, and he had basically said, there's no way I will trust that Jesus could do this. No way. I won't believe it. I've got to see it. I've got to understand first. Right? So the problem wasn't that he couldn't understand. The problem was that the fact that he didn't understand made him quit, which is why Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who does not see and trusts me anyway." That's what that means. Blessed is the one who has not seen, those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. On the surface, we read this and we say, and scholars will agree, that Jesus is kind of giving a shout out to all the followers of Jesus in later generations. Like, okay, just because you weren't with me, just because you didn't walk with me in the flesh, doesn't mean that you are not special, that you're special, you are blessed. So Jesus is, yes, he's doing that. But underneath that, there's a deeper principle here, because Thomas's problem was that Thomas quit. He wasn't going to finish his race. He wasn't going to finish his call. He wasn't going to walk out the plan that God had for him because he couldn't understand what was going on. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you don't understand and trust me anyway." Because here's the thing. If you can learn to trust God when you don't understand, you'll be fit to finish God's plan. If you can learn to trust God when you don't understand, you will be fit to finish God's plan. You will be faithful. And let me tell you, one of the defining characteristics of walking with Jesus is knowing how to deal with things that you don't understand. Jesus did this all the time, didn't he? 5,000 people, they're hungry. Send them home. Let them go home and get something to eat. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and tells them what? "You feed them." How are we supposed to feed them? I don't understand how I'm supposed to feed them. Sometimes Jesus will tell you to do things that you don't fully understand at the time. And if your faithfulness is dependent upon you understanding how things are going to work out, how things are going to happen, how things are going to work according to God's plan, you won't finish it. You won't do it. But what did they do? They said, okay, Jesus, we'll give you these 5 loaves, these 2 fish, and we'll trust you. And the rest is history. Didn't Jesus, when Lazarus was sick, what did Jesus do? You remember what Jesus did? When he got word that Lazarus was sick, he said, okay, I'll get there. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited until Lazarus died. There it goes again. Jesus doing something that they did not understand. And Jesus showed up and they said, Jesus, if you were here, he would not have died. But because the plan of God for them at that time was to reveal the fact that Jesus was the resurrection, Lazarus had to die first. This is part and parcel of having a relationship with God. God will sometimes do things that you don't understand. God will allow things to happen that you don't understand. God will tell you to do things that you don't fully understand. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to work. You don't see how it fits in with the big picture of your life. And let me tell you why it's so important for you to be able to trust God when you don't understand. Let me just illustrate this for you real quick. Okay? That's God's plan, and that's you. Okay? Now, it's a very elaborate illustration, I know. But, okay, so that's God's plan, that's you. What this illustration shows you, number one, is that God's plan is not about you, because God's plan is bigger than you. You agree that God's plan is bigger than you? Okay, now if God's plan is bigger than you, that means by its very nature, it will challenge the boundaries of your understanding. Because it's bigger than you, you can't always understand how the pieces fit together, how things are going to happen, because it's bigger than your understanding. It's bigger than what you can conceive. That's why that famous saying in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because his plan is bigger than your understanding. So if you can't trust God when you don't understand, you'll never finish, because Jesus will always be challenging your understanding. So one of the things that God will do in your life to prepare you to be fit to finish is God will expose you, constantly challenge the boundaries of your understanding so that you can learn how to trust him when you don't understand. Yeah? Which is why doubt isn't always a bad thing. Doubt, having doubt, questioning things, not being sure, not understanding, is an opportunity to learn how to trust God when you don't understand it all. Because when you can trust God anyway, you will finish your assignment. No one wants a half-done house. No one wants a half-done surgery. No one wants a half-done song. God needs your faithfulness more than your certainty. God needs you to be faithful more than he needs you to be certain about things all the time. And so God will allow things to shake you and to rattle you and to challenge your understanding. Jesus did it all the time. And so rather than fighting that process, because we hate it when we don't understand, right? We hate it. It's like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And we start worrying. We start worrying. We start thinking about it. We start talking about it. I don't know how this is going to happen. I see A, B, and C. I just do not know how this is going to work out. I just don't get it. and we stress about it and we cry about it and we complain about it. God, I don't understand it. Maybe in those moments we say, okay, I don't get it. This is a great opportunity for me to learn how to be faithful, how to trust God anyway. Amen? Amen? And I was kind of wrestling with what to call this message because there's so much in it. We could talk about doubt. You know how doubt is a gift at times. You know, I had a friends in college. People would tell them, don't take world religions in college because then it'll make you question your faith. And the message is, you should never expose yourself to something that will make you look at your faith again or question things or have questions. We're taught to fear questions, taught to avoid doubt. And sometimes it's exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need. Because if you're like Thomas and you need to have all the answers all the time, you will quit. Because God's plan is bigger than you. If you need to have an answer for everyone's question all the time, if you don't know how to say, I don't know, you're not going to finish. Because there are things about God's plan that you just don't know. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It's the very nature of the way things work. So there's so much I kind of want to leave you with today. One being that doubt at times is a gift from God to help to teach you how to trust him when you don't understand, because that's a very important characteristic to be faithful. You know, I want to emphasize to you the importance of finishing. You know, what has God told you to do? Have you finished it? Have you followed through? Because God needs your faithfulness more than your certainty, more than your answers. Needs your faithfulness and your trust. And if you want to be faithful, learn how to trust God when you don't understand. So, in terms of applying this message, here's something that you can do. We've been talking about journaling lately, so I want to challenge you to write down the areas of your life that you don't understand currently, and then pray over them. Pray prayers of trust over them. Let those things be an opportunity for you to learn how to trust God anyway. Let it be a training ground. Let the things you don't understand train you so that God can entrust you with the bigger picture. You know, sometimes I think God doesn't share things with us because we're not ready to hear it. If Jesus had told Thomas, they're going to beat me, crucify me, and then I'm going to rise from the dead, he may have quit before he even got started. I mean, Jonah had his reasons. God said, get up, go to Nineveh. He said, I'm going to go up and go this way. He didn't understand how all that was going to work. Yeah. And sometimes I think that to myself, you know, we ask God, show me your plan. Show me your will. Sometimes I don't think we're even ready because it's too big. God's like, if I told you, you may not even start. You may quit before you even get started. So let me just lead you inch by inch. Yeah. But if you have been trained, if you have taken the opportunities when things in your life happen that you don't understand and you allow it to train you to trust God anyway, God will show you more. Because you won't run if you don't understand. I don't understand it. All right, I'll go. By faith, Abraham left his homeland. I don't get it, but I'll go anyway. By faith, Noah built the ark. I don't get it. I don't understand, but I'll do it. I trust you anyway, right? By faith, Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt. I don't see how Pharaoh's not going to kick my behind if I go in there, little old me, and tell him, let my people go. But, okay. By faith, the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea. I've never seen this before. I'm supposed to walk through that thing and come out the other side. That water's just going to stay like that? Are you sure? Right? If they had to understand how all of that was happening before, they would have quit. They would never have entered the promised land. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. God needs you to trust him. Yes? If you want to finish your race, you got to trust him. 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 Yes, answers will come eventually. They don't always come when you want them. Some of them you won't get answers until you're gone and you're in glory and you're with Jesus. But if you can trust God through not understanding, you will make the impact God put you on this earth to make. You will touch the people Jesus wants you to touch. You will reach the people Jesus wants you to reach. You will make a difference in the kingdom of God. Not because you're so gifted, not because you're so great, not because you're better than this one or that one, simply because you kept going. Simply because you kept going. And this is the advantage people have. We talk about some of the greatest athletes in the world, will tell you, I just didn't quit. You know, you look at people like Ray Lewis, Tom Brady. You know, Ray Lewis is short. Anybody know Ray Lewis? Yeah, Ray Lewis was short. Yeah, for his position. Oh, yeah. He'd tell you he's not the right height. He wasn't fast enough. But he just did not quit. Tom Brady's the same way. That's why he was drafted in the sixth round. Didn't have all the credentials of a great quarterback. But he just never quit. And if you just have that never quit attitude, you can do so much more than you think. Never quit. You will be fit to finish. I'm declaring that over your life. You will be fit to finish. Whatever God puts in front of you, you will do it. You will keep going. You will not give up. You will make the impact that God wants you to make. You will be fit to finish. Amen. You agree with that? Amen. You will be fit to finish. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us hope. Some of us, we don't feel like we're the most qualified, the most talented, the most gifted. Some of us feel like we don't know the right people in order to make an impact on this world. But you're not looking for all that. You just want people who will trust you, people who will not quit, people who will not stop in the middle, people who will keep going. And so I'm just praying for faith today, faith to trust you when we don't understand. Faith to remember that when things happen that we don't understand, it's an opportunity to learn how to trust you when things are beyond our understanding. Because your plan, by its very nature, is bigger than us, bigger than our imagination, bigger than our ability to understand it all. And we want to thank you today for choosing us. You didn't have to choose us, but you did. You didn't have to find us, but you did. You didn't have to save us, but you did. And you gave us a purpose. You gave us a calling. You gave us a mission. And we want to walk in that purpose. We want to walk in that mission. Because the greatest success in life is not according to what the world says is successful. The greatest success in life is to live out the will of God for our lives. And that's what we want to do. So thank you for working in us to make us fit to finish, because we want to finish our race. We want to finish our course. We might get discouraged along the way. We might doubt along the way. We might question things along the way. But as long as we keep going, we're going to be all right. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Our musicians are going to play. And I just want to invite you to turn over your connection cards and just pray about how you want to, what next steps you want to take today as we prepare to live out the word. The scripture says, do not be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Amen. So why don't you take a few moments and reflect on how you want to live out the word today.